Shalom Aleichem.
Aleichem Shalom.
Are you ready? So here we go. We are starting Perek Zion, which is continuing with Os Hey. So the topic he has here is obviously a very important one, a well-known topic, Hashgacha. How do you translate Hashgacha? I have no idea. But generally people translate it as divine providence. You know, you talk about a mashkiach in the yeshiva, a mashkiach in a restaurant. So there's a hashkacha, you know, there's oversight. Obviously, it doesn't mean mere oversight. It means a lot more than that. It means influence and involvement, and it means a lot of things. So it's really hard to put it into an English word. So it's called hashkacha. Hashkacha Hashem. See, it sounds like this. Hinei reina b'chol dar. We see, we have seen in every generation, Hashgachas Hashem Yisparach Al HaTzadikim, L'malta Mikol Yira, a certain providence, a certain Hashgacha on Tzadikim to save them from negativity, Olivarcham, and to give them all sorts of brachas, Gashmias, Ruchnias, to help them along. K'mon Shekasav, like the Pasuk says, K'ona Malach Hashem Saviv L'Riyah V'Yachal Tzeim, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has a Malach Hashem around those who fear Him to assist them. With Tainis, so now he has a slew, a whole slew of Gemara's of stories in the Gemara in Tainis, because Gemara in Tainis has a lot of this. So he says, Gabi Nachamish Gamzu, the famous Gamzu Latoiva. It's actually a terrible, terrible story, because his body was terrible. I mean, he had davened actually because of something he did, a tzedakah that he didn't do properly. He felt that he kind of basically cursed himself. And he was in really sad shape. So we're not discussing that part of this, just that he was in a very shaky house and he told them to remove everything else first and him last, which of course is the opposite of what we'd expect. Take out the person first if the house is shaky and take everything else last. Whatever you can save, but obviously the most important thing is the person. So he says, no, take everything out first. And Amalehem Bonai Panuas Akelim, Yechagach Panuas Mitasi, my bed, which he was stuck in because he couldn't get out of it. That's the last thing you should be removed, should move to Lechem, because it's guaranteed. As long as I'm in the house, the bad house will not collapse. So, you know, that's like an amazing thing to say. Really amazing. Lechem Sham, Gemara there also. Rabbi Barava, the famous Rabbi Barava, Shechnisa, Rav Huna, the Bayis Ra'ua. That Rav Huna actually convinced him to go into a certain house that was very shaky. Kedei lefanas hayayin misham, so he could remove the wine from there. He used him. Because he knew that as long as Rav Huna was there, so the house wouldn't fall down. That's exactly what happened. Misham, and also in the Gemara in Tainus, the Surah was a devarta dever. There was a devarta, which is the Aramaic for dever, a plague, pestilence. Mishavusa de Rav. But in Rav's neighborhood, so it didn't affect them. So this is the Gemara. So it's very interesting. He's gonna make a big deal out of this and a couple of stories in a minute. You'll see. So they figured that the reason why, good morning, good luck, they figured that the reason why it wasn't impacting the neighborhood of Rav was because he had a tremendous zechus. It was an incredible zechus of his. So then it appeared to them in a dream. I don't know exactly what that means. Who had the dream and how did the word get spread? That the Gemara doesn't clarify, but it became clear to them in a dream. Rav, that you don't need Rav's great zechus for this particular salvation. It was because of a certain individual. He wasn't, you know, the big rub, but he was a certain individual, and he would lend out his shovel and his zavila, some other sort of digging a hoe or something like that, and he would lend out these items specifically for kavura. So it was a big chesed, you know, these things could get ruined and broken and whatever, and he lent them out to people to bury their dead. So it was the zechus of that person who didn't rent them out. He gave them out for free to do chesed. So that was what enabled the neighborhood to be saved from this particular issue. Bedrekes, in this place called Kedrekeres, so there was a fire, Delikta. And Mishavusa, the Rav Huna, Rav Huna's neighborhood, it didn't impact them. So every minute is chas de Rav Huna. Not first, everyone figured it's because of Rav Huna. It's great zechas. His chas is lebechama, but then it became clear to them in a dream. Hi, zirchele the Rav Huna. Nah, this is unnecessary. Rav Huna's zechas is unnecessary for this particular salvation. El mishum ahayitisa the mechamemes tanura was because of a certain woman who would warm up, who would heat up her oven. Mishaylu she would say, then she would let everybody come in and use her oven because of. Hagri Meltzanzal, Besidur Hagra. So there was a certain Machaber Sefer that wrote a Siddur based on the teachings of the Vilna Gaon. He comments an interesting question on the Gemara, both of these stories. Why does the Gemara have to spell out that the Zuchus of Rav and Rufuna were so great it was unnecessary? Like, why is that relevant to the story? Just say, the Gemara should say it was in, you know, their towns or whatever, and it was in the zechus of this person, it was in the zechus of that person. All we need to know, it was the zechus of mere mortals that saved the towns from all of the issues. Why is it necessary to mention, and it wasn't in their zechus because their zechus was so great? So do you need both of them? Do you need the fact that they had a tremendous zechus plus the zechus of the other one? That doesn't make sense. Like, what? What's going on over here? So he answers the name of Yaros Devash. Because the Gemara says in Baba Kama, Rashi brings this down by the Machas Bachoris in Mitzrayim. So once permission has been given to the Malach HaMaves, to various forces of destruction that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends to the world, Ein mavchin bin tzaddik l'rasha, a pretty terrifying idea that there is no distinction made between tzaddik and rasha. Once rishus has been given for destruction, so then, you know, all bets are off. It sounds like tzuchuyos don't count anymore. About b'medivar memorim, but when do we say such a thing? But tzaddik she'eno gamor, only when it's not a tzaddik gamor. So then the tzaddik she'eno gamor is at risk. About tzaddik gamor, but if the individual is mamish, a tzaddik gamor, however you classify that and whatever that requires, then there's no such thing as we're not mavchin bin tzaddik l'rasha. We are mavchin when it comes to a tzaddik gamor. And therefore, even if the pestilence would have been in the neighborhood of, let's say, Rav or Rav Hunan in the different stories, it would not have affected him, them. Like a pasuk says, that however many are going to be on the right, on the left, but they're not going to affect you. It was because of the other individual, the woman or the man in individual stories. It required their zuchus that wouldn't impact the neighborhood. In other words, so Rav Huna or Rav, so their zuchus was enough that it wouldn't have affected them. Okay, but it would have impacted the neighborhood. It would have impacted other people. It just wouldn't have affected them at all. So in terms of their zuchus, so that saved them. But what's the zuchus that saved the neighborhood? Because it can't save anybody else. Why can't it save anybody else? Because once the rishus is given to the mashchis, lahashchis, ain't no mavchim in tzaddik l'rasha. So now they're all bets are off. There's no way to save anybody else. The only person that can be saved is the tzaddik gamor. So that's what's going on in the Gemara, he says, is that their zuchus is saving them, is tipping the balance, is preventing the mashchis from impacting everybody else. There was a witch. There was a certain woman, and she was trying to take the dirt from under the feet of Rabbi Chanina. He writes in brackets, last I said Shafim, because she wanted to do some kind of witchcraft or some sort of spell or whatever. Omar Lassi, he said to her, yeah, no. Imistayas is the Avidi. If that, you know, if that's helpful to you, go ahead and do it. Like, I don't care. Do what you want. Ain oid milvado. It says in the pasuk, there is no other force in control of the world other than Hashem. Uparech. So Gemara the kasha. This word kshafim, right, which is a Hebrew word for witchcraft. So why is it called kshafim? So the Gemara says it's a hint to the following idea, shemakrishin, right? Kishafim. So it's like, you know, again, I don't know, makrishin, it contradicts pamalia shel mala. So however exactly the acronym here is working, but it's a hint to the phrase that it contradicts the palace above. It contradicts HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom. So in other words, sorcery does have a koyach. That's the point. And it has the koyach. It's a God-given koyach to the world. And it can do certain things. So wait a minute. So how can Rabbi Chanina say, go ahead and do it? I'm relying on Enod Milvadoi. You can't rely on Enod Milvadoi. That's exactly what witchcraft is it has a capacity to do what it does. And Mishani, so the great answer is, Shani Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina is different. Did Nafri Zuchus say, the Ein Misyari Mayhem, because he had such an incredible Zuchus that he had no reason to fear them. So it's back to a similar idea of the time that the Rishus is given to the Mashus Lahashchis. So Einu Mavchim in Tzadik LaRasha. No, but not a Tzadik Gomor. Tzadik Gomor. So then he's protected. So also Rabbi Chanina, even though witchcraft has the capacity to affect people, it couldn't affect him. I mean, what's his point? His point in all of these things is that there's a certain hashgacha given to tzaddikim that if a person's on a madrega, that he has incredible zechuyos, so then whatever normally impacts people, even in a spiritual sense, doesn't impact them because that's the hashgacha. They have a special hashgacha. This is a wild story. The Abaye had a base madrash wherever it was, and there was a demon that was that was making a ruckus.
Love shading.
Yeah, there's a shade. There's a in the base manager of Abaye causing a ruckus. And when the Talmidim would try to go learn in the base manager, even in a pair, which you know gives a certain protection, and even in the daytime, which also is supposed to prevent damage from these mazikin. Nonetheless, have a matizke, they would get damaged by this shade, even when they came in pairs and even during the tari. So when Rabbi heard that Rachab Bar Yaakov was coming to learn, Gemara's whole story over there that he was really going to say his son was supposed to go learn in yeshiva. His son like came back from yeshiva and he started asking him questions about what he learned in yeshiva. And the son is like, oh, I don't know. What am I sending you to yeshiva for? Why should I pay tuition for you? I'll go learn. So he goes to learn and Abaye's face vanishes and the kid stays home. Anyway, so when Abaye heard that Rachab Bar Yaakov was coming, see, he told everybody, don't give him a place to stay. He wanted him to get stuck without a place to sleep that night, and he would have to go sleep in the base medrash. And so, kachava. So Yael and Shambalayli, he worked it out that he would be stuck and have to sleep in the base medrash at night. And for sure, he'll kill the mazik. Something will happen, the Lord will resolve the issue. And that's exactly what happened. Ayin Sham, that's when he bows down the 7 times. Every time he bowed down, one of the heads fell off. This 7-headed monster, whatever. You find this by the earlier tzaddikim. I am always wondering, Josh, and others, not only do you find this in stories and Chazal, in the Gemara and earlier, but you find it even later than that as well, in what he refers to as the kadmoinim, meaning no, we're not talking about just Chazal anymore, later than Chazal. I am always wondering, Josh, take a look, for example, in this collection of Midrashim, where it says, Amayis Ryuda Chassid, right? So we're talking about Chassidei Ashkenaz. That there was a non-Jew that wanted to kill him. So the guy stuck his head out of a window. And the window closed on his head, or something happened where the window frame closed over his head and he couldn't get his head out of the window. Take a look, the whole story is over there. Maybe Maisem a Rashi. There's an incident that happened with Rashi. The guy was trying to kill Rashi. And he was unable to see Rashi, because he became like invisible to his eye. Take a look over the whole incident. And even in later generations, so Rekiva Eger, who was in the Rav in Poznan, so he came to Warsaw in Poland. The Baal Tshuva is Chemda Shlomer. So he came to, I don't know, visit or stay with or whatever, talk to Rav Zalman, who wrote the Sefer, the Tshuva is Chemda Shlomer. There was a woman who came crying to the two holy Goinim. Hayos kibala nishtamer, nishtamid. That her husband had converted to Christianity. For a number of years already. And so he made her an aguna. He refused to give her a get. He converted out of Yiddishkeit, Rachman Litzan and refused to give her a get. Tried very hard for years to try to get this jerk to give her a get, and he was unable to do it. So when she heard that this great goyin from Poznan was in Warsaw, she came with her, you know, her embittered soul. So maybe with these two goyinim, when they would come together, you know, there's no great gedolim like these two. Maybe they'll come up with some way to some plan to remove her from her chains of being an aguna. So he said to Rikiva Eger, Meroi, you know, the master, the goyin, should try to help her. It's a terrible, terrible situation. Is there any way that we can get this guy to show up here? So he did all kinds of things to try to convince friends and people that knew this this Mumar, this guy that had left Yiddishkeit, that he should come to the rabbis when they invite him. They said to him, like a joking and a mocking fashion, Kimata Yarilifnehem. Look, when they call you to come, right? So what are you afraid of? Yeah? They said to this guy, what are you afraid of? They're not going to convince you to change your mind. What are they going to do to you? They're going to throw you in jail? Like, they can't do anything to you. They're just a bunch of rabbis. So the guy said, okay, right. So he came. So the guy said to him, why are you not giving your wife a get? If you want to go on the path you've chosen for yourself, you know, to abandon Yiddishkeit, but what's your problem? Why do you need to do this to this poor, you know, Sayara is like a whirlwind, you know, why do you need to do this to this poor woman to create such a terrible situation for her? And he responded with his, you know, his arrogance or whatever, that in his mocking way, that he wasn't interested in giving her again. You're not gonna convince him. Veshuv amar ha'goyin ha'kadai shebikiva egerzal halay shamati alecha shabat disal lemadet the gemara beis hamedrash. Didn't I hear about you that you actually used to learn in a beis medrash? You know, you used to learn gemara, right? Amar hey, he said, yeah. He says, bring me a Gemara Kiddushin. He opened up to the beginning of the Maseches Kiddushin, and he pointed, you know, on the page. And he said in the following words, Chazal said in the Mishnah, the very beginning of Kiddushin, right, that a woman is acquired in three ways. And she acquires herself in two ways. Beged v'misa sabal. Only with a get and Misa Sabal. There's only two ways that she'll become free. So if that's the case, so, you know, whatever you want. Oi, Peter Sab a get. Oi, Bimlaiter, say, give her a get. Poter her pater with a get. Or if you don't want, there's always a second possibility, but Misa Sabal. Like, what if he came, he's going to kill him? Like, what are you trying to say? You know? He laughed and he made fun of the Dibri HaGoyin Riki Igerzal. And he turned around and he left. He was like, ha, like, what are you going to do about it? He was on his way out of the house. He was on his way down the steps. So his eyes got like all blurry. And they turned black, like, you know. And he like had like a stroke. And he fell down the steps. And because he had a stroke on the way down the steps, he died. He was killed on the spot. That's the quote of this particular story. So, you know, wow. Like, that's like crazy, no? He mamash told him, listen, either you can give her a get or we'll arrange Misa Sabal. So he laughed at him and then he died. It was Sefer Shem HaGdolim Achad. If you take a look at the Sefer Shem HaGdolim, it's the Misapa Rabbeinu HaGaon HaChida. So over there, there's a story that it says about the chida. When he was older and he was already the chacham of a particular city. There was a chashav, a guy who was a kohen. Nistra im ish echad. Let me just get this right. Let's go. Whatever, he had a problem. Livorno. That's how you pronounce it. Kovlana in English is Livorno. I don't know how the kuf works. I don't know the linguistics of it. But that he was a kohen, and the city was Livorno. It says in the Hebrew here in Kovlana. Anyway, so he came in front of the chida regarding his wife because she apparently had had yichud with some guy. And he was concerned that she was cheating on him. Well, going on now, so the chida, and also it was he said this in the to the dayanim, the judges of that year that were, you know, were well known and been prominent individuals. Yash v'sham, they were all present for this conversation. So the chida said to him, if you miss us, that the halacha is the mitzvah atar is your mechuyev to divorce her. The judges that were on the spot, they couldn't handle this. They couldn't keep quiet. But be frank, you cravenly ishanal. It was a political situation. Apparently, the woman also was from a very prominent family, and so a lot of these dayanim were related to her. So they wanted to protect her. You know that this she shouldn't get divorced and have this big fallout. And so they said to him, Ilam Daini Rabbeinu, said to the chida, You know, teach us, like, you know, inform us what's going on over here. I am loy, but garden's there. How do you get such a halacha? Lishpoit b'lo yedim, that you're going to make a din against her. There's no edim on the yichud. It's just his word against her word. Like, well, where is the halacha here? There's a mitzvah to divorce her. Where are you coming from? Ein zale divrei nevius. This is only because of some sort of, you know, ruach hakodesh. It's the only way you could ever know such a thing. But lo b'shamayim here. We don't judge din. We don't make halachas based on nevuah. And if you're going to insist that we should be doing all kinds of judgments nowadays based on some sort of element in the book called Ruach HaKodesh, so what's going to happen is Chas V'Shalom, it's going to be a messed up din. Why? Why should it be a messed up din? We don't have bizman hazeh, a person on such a madrig of nevuah. All we have are the words of the Gemara and Chazal. That's what we have to work with. So it's a very interesting thing what they're saying over here. They're saying that, you know, first of all, if it's mamash nevuah, which is a much stronger madrig, we're not allowed to paskin based on nevuah. We're not allowed. And if you're going to say no, but there's a certain element of ruach hakodesh afilo bizman hazeh, so he says it's not going to work out because we're not on such a madrega anymore to even be able to utilize those types of things. So it's going to be messed up. We don't live in such a time. Anyway, he didn't answer them. The chida just ignored them. He says back to the guy, to the husband, Shema b'koyli, listen to me, but Gariyas is a isha, says divorce her. So when the dayanim saw that the chida was ignoring them, he went to the relatives of this woman, which are, you know, big rich guys, you know, powerful people in the city. So he told them the whole story. Like, and all of a sudden, the whole town comes on to the chida, and they're all mad at him. But when the chida heard about all this political fighting was going on, but he had ruach Hashem. He had an inspiration, min Hashamayim, v'ishlach v'ikras isha, and he sent personally that the woman should appear before him personally. But tava yaylav levayis aliyah shirsham hayached l'mudu veis tefilasei. So she went up to this attic, which was where the chida would learn and where he would daven. That was like his personal space, and I guess he had a minion there when he davened. I don't know. But chiroisa isa. And when he saw her, so he got up from his chair. He went to have some sort of a chest, you know, like a closet that they was to use. That was the Aron Kodesh in that Aliyah. He got Sefer Torah, and he took out a Sefer Torah from there. Now, and he read straight from a Sefer Torah, Parashas Asaita, Betame and the Ginois with the proper, you know, with the truck, which obviously is Faradi. Anyway, he ke hafenaisa. That's when she turned her shoulder to leave. So the chida said to her, out loud, that if you didn't, then you get, you know, brachas, but you No, you did. Okay, so this is Vagoymer, so I don't know how much he said exactly what he said, but bottom line is he repeated the curses that happened to us. Saita. And when she put her foot down on the top step, she didn't even get down to the second step. Her face turned green, and her eyes started to pop out. And everything that it says about a Saito is Makuyim in her. And she started to, screaming. Everybody came running to find out what's going on. And they saw. And they became, like astonished and terrified. And they called out, get to remove this cursed woman. And they took her out. Remove, that was what they said. Remove the woman and get her out of here. So she shouldn't be metame as base rabbeinu. So you remember Isha Re'eo, they all said to each other, now we know Kisha Likim Kadashu, the Chidas Mamash, a holy man. The Dover Hashem Befib MS, what he says, and Hashem puts in his mouth is Mamash the truth. When the Yes says, I see his love from that time on, everyone was very careful. They were afraid to come close to the Chidah. The Yekar Shemoy Moedla Ishmaifis, and became well known as a Bal Moifis. The man Yel is Echer Olam, and so that this should never be forgotten. Sivu Nedive Ha'ir, so the rich guys in the communities, they commanded, Letzapis as Amalais as Hermes Alam Bazov, to coat the steps that this happened to her, to coat the steps in gold. Lias the Zikarin Maase Ha'isha Neira Hazet, Bamaisa Nifla, to remember this awesome man and this amazing incident that happened on Kamla Shaina. Wow. Yishamati, I heard, says Rechaim Shemadreka, that these gold coated steps, Hayu Kayamin Sham, were still there, Adam Muhammad Achreina, until World War One, I guess. I don't know, World War Two. The last one of World War Two, I guess. Yishamati, Migise, Aragon, Ritzag, Riv, Shaul, Barzam, Zatal, Shamar, Shamar, and Chazanish, Amarloi, and Chazanish had told him, so I'm moving on, the Chazanish said that Cha'ada Dora Acharon, until the previous generation, Hayraim Kulam Hashkacha Gedol Yisrael. Everybody saw unique Hashkacha when it came to the Gedol Yisrael. Magoyner Rilozer Moshe Mipins Zatzal Hayu Hagoyim Doichavim Esay Sheidrach Al Sadai Seir, that there was a Gadol Rabbi Eliezer from Pins Rilozer Moshe, and that the Goyim used to push him around or I don't know, direct him so that he would end up having to walk on their fields. Because they knew that whatever field that he would walk on would have bracha. And the Golem in Minsk, so there were in his town, there were these really bad dogs, these guard dogs, whatever. Shekala Oivar Sham, that whoever would pass by the dogs, Ayu, Misnaplim, the dogs would, would fall on him. Okay, Shekala Nalai Oivar, but when he would pass by, Ayu Borchim, all the dogs would run away. Everybody knew in the city. It's only in our later generation, that we don't really see these types of things anymore. He writes in brackets, Pashtas, he says, is that the reason why we don't see this Ashkacha anymore is to increase the Nisayon of Emuna in what's called the Ikvisa de Mashiach, in the footsteps of the Mashiach, the Akev, the heel of the times of Mashiach. Which some say it's dafka called ikvus of the Mashiach. Why would it be called the footsteps of Mashiach? Why not just like the time of Mashiach? So they say because the bottom of the foot generally is the least sensitive part of the body, that people are supposed to be able to walk, without shoes and just walk. So the bottom of the feet often are very callous and there's not, so it doesn't have a lot of feeling. So too, the times in the ikvus of the Mashiach, there's not a lot of clear hashkacha. And in spite of all of that, Misha wrote to the race, if a person wants to see Ashkacha, Roya Gaim Hayom, he'll see it also today. Besipar Alatzmo, Chazanish said about himself, Shekeshahaya b'Minsk, b'zman ha'milchama, when he was in Minsk in the old times of World War I, Lehaya loy, passport. He didn't have a passport, b'chlal. B'sham, and over there, me, Shenit Nispas b'loy, passport, Hayurim b'miyad. If they would catch a person without a passport, without ID, they would shoot him on the spot. He heard that the soldiers or the government, the policemen, are coming to look around to see who has a passport and who doesn't. So he went to run away. He made a mistake in directions. Instead of running away from him, they ran straight towards the soldiers. So they were in two rows, and he had to walk through the soldiers. Whoever, Mamash just walked through the row of soldiers. Not one of them said a word to him until he was able to pass through them all the way to the end. And he ran away. And he said that he was confident that nothing would happen to him because he had just finished his sefer on Eruvin, and that zuchus was going to enable him to get out of there. That's what he heard in the name of the Chazon Ish. There's tons of stories like this about Gedol Yisrael. People that testify to it, you can't contradict them. Whoever wants to see will. So here he has the stories. He says, Rechaim said that it's written in the Sfarim that there is a special conduct towards Talmidei Chachamim. When they go to bed, they fall asleep immediately to avoid any bittul Torah. Indeed, the members of his household attest that this is true from Chaim himself. A fine man once told Chaim that he learned during the day and took a half-hour nap in the afternoon. Each day, at the end of 30 minutes, a fly would come buzzing by and wake him up. One day, he decided to sleep a little longer. The next day, the fly did not come back. Some say the story happened through Chaim himself. During the period when he took a morning rest at his sister's house, Rechaim would regularly wake up on his own at the exact time that he wanted to. Rechaim related that his mother told him that a special hashgacha was seeing the Chazon Ish. For example, sometimes he didn't want to eat. And it turned out that Truma and Meister had not been taken from the food. Indeed, each time his meal was either delayed or he didn't want to eat, something questionable would be discovered about the food every single time. Rechaim remembers a young man who came to the Chazon Ish and said that he needed surgery. So the Chazon Ish instructed him to see a certain doctor and so on. Later, he spoke to the young man in learning and saw that he was actually a Talmud Chacham. So then he changed his mind. He said, you don't need an operation. But the Rav guided me how to go about having the surgery. He said the Chazon Ish, the Talmud Chacham's life is conducted differently. And so it was. In the end, the young man did not need the operation. One winter, Rechaim said that it didn't rain at all. The Beis Din of Yerushalayim announced that everyone should say the tefillah for drought. So they sent Rechaim Kanievsky to daven for the Amid of Mincha in the home of the Chazon Ish. And Rechaim asked the Chazon Ish, should I say the tefillah for rain? Why? Asked the Chazon Ish. Because that's what the Beis Din said to do. Why did they say that? Because there's no rain. Because there's no rain, the Chazon Ish said, don't worry, there will be plenty of rain. They started to daven. When they were still in the middle of Mincha, the rain started falling. After Mincha, Rechaim entered the Chazon Ish's room and said, what a miracle just happened here. And the Chazon Ish smiled. Chaim also spoke about the special powers of Gedolei Yisrael. They say of several of the Torah giants of the previous generations that they underwent surgery without anesthesia. Well, not all the stories have a reliable source, Rechaim said. I know that the Chazon Ish had an appendix operation in Eretz Yisrael and told the doctors not to put him under anesthesia. He became thoroughly absorbed in a sugya, and after a while he looked up and asked, it's over already? My mother was very concerned and helpful when it came to marrying off my oldest daughter, Rechaim related. She was already sick by then and told me, who knows how you will manage in the future and what will happen afterward. In the end, the marriage of each child was a miracle in itself. Once, he said, I was asked to write a commentary on Sefer HaRekeach. Those who arranged the job advised me not to discuss money. For a full year, I wrote my comments each evening until I was finally finished and brought my work to them. They did not pay me a penny. 5 years passed. When my daughter became engaged, they suddenly brought me the money, the exact amount to which I had obligated myself for her shidduch. Chaim said the Chazon Ish was able to know a person within a very short time. Once Rav Moshe Soloveitchik came to see him, the Chazon Ish was much taken with him, but didn't know who he was. He asked my mother, Chaim said, who is the man who was just here? He's a grandson of Rav Chaim Brisker, she told him. He was also a roommate of Rav Chaim Kanievsky in the Lumsey Yeshiva. Said the Chazon Ish, now I understand. Rechaim also said that there were a few unique individuals whom after a brief visit or two, the Chazon Ish knew them to their depths, that he escorted these people with great honor. He escorted Rabbi Leo Lishenzer to the courtyard, gave great honor. He sent Rechaim to escort him to the car that was waiting some distance away. Similarly, he very much honored Rivero Yanover. The Chazon Ish told me, Rechaim added, that he could know a person in 2 minutes. We are aware of the fact from Rav Steinman's visit. As Rav Nissim Karlitz testified, the Chazon Ish honored him as one of the Gedolim, and on his departure, escorted him to the gate. A secular woman was once trampled to death in Bnei Brak. In order to avoid an autopsy, we arranged for all the respected people in the city to come to her funeral, just like we did for, it's like we did, we always did, we would have done for one of the Rabbanim. Afterwards, my mother told me she had known the woman back in Moscow as one who was Michal Shabbos Befarhesia and eaten on Yom Kippur. She was very surprised that this woman had merited such a distinguished funeral. In the end, it was discovered that when the woman had been in the camps during the war, she was in charge of burying the dead and had tended to the job with devotion. Because the dead sense what is being done to them after their death, she was given the honor and the pleasure that it afforded her. In that way, she received her reward in this world. We also see the Mina Keneged Mina aspect of this story. The same woman who had devotedly tended to the bodies of the dead merited having her body safeguarded from having to have an autopsy. Another story on this topic was shared by Rilio Mann. A Jewish widower hired a non-Jewish woman to help him raise his children, right? So his wife died, so he hired a non-Jewish woman to help him with the kids. The woman took devoted care of them, even reciting Moed Ani with them. It's a pretty good feat. Many years later, one of the boys, whom she had cared for, happened upon a funeral of an elderly non-Jewish woman. And he passed by, I don't know, whatever it was. She was always boasting about how she took care of Jewish children, someone said. An investigation revealed that this was the very woman who had cared for him when he was a kid. And Hashkach had arranged for him to be present at her funeral to give her the honor she earned. Revison Kanievsky related a fire once broke out in our home. When my daughter realized what had happened, she hastened to knock loudly on the room where her father was learning with a barrel wine chop. Only after several minutes of knocking did they rouse themselves from their learning and hurry downstairs. I was away at the time. When I arrived, the Rav's face was shining. "Why are you so happy?" I asked in astonishment. He replied that just that morning he had finished writing one of his Sfarim. With Hashgacha Pratis, he had not delayed, but had immediately delivered the manuscript to Rav Dov Landau for review. Therefore, his work had been saved from the burning house. "And what about the boxes of Sfarim that had been recently delivered from the printer and were sitting on the porch near the fire?" He said a neighbor had seen the flames licking closer and closer to the boxes of Sfarim. Suddenly, the flames stopped. It appeared as though an invisible hand had prevented them from advancing towards the boxes, so the holy books were saved from the fire. And lastly, a package from an Arab. Rechaim always says that everyone can see Hashgacha Pratis regularly. All one has to do is open his eyes. Rav Aryeh Levine once told Rechaim that each year before the Yamim Tovim, he collected money to distribute to needy families. One year, things were very difficult, and he returned home empty-handed. Rav Aryeh went to the Kaisal to pour out his heart in prayer and supplication, asking Hashem to take pity on the poor and destitute among his children. As he left the Kaisal, an Arab approached him, someone he had never met before. He handed Rav Aryeh a large package wrapped in newspaper. The stranger disappeared as suddenly as he had come. Rav Aryeh opened the package and was stunned to find that it contained the exact sum of money that he distributed to the poor each year. "It is said in my family," Rav Chaim said, "that it was Elio Anavi who was revealed to my grandfather." Unbelievable. All right, so we got to keep looking, and Reis Hashem, we'll see the Hashgacha. Have a great day. Atzlacha kol tov.